Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Wheels India Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Vishakha Maliwal from ICICI Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Raju. Good morning, everyone. We have with us the management of Wheels India Limited, represented by Mr. Sriram, MD, and Mr. P. Ramesh, CFO. Thanks to the management for giving us the opportunity to host the call. So over to you, Mr. Ram, for opening comments. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the investor call. Wheels India registered a net profit of 24.8 crores for Q4 ended 31st March 2023, as compared to 27.9 crores registered in the corresponding quarter of the last year. Q4 revenues were 6% up compared to the previous year at 1,169.2 crores compared to 1,101.3 crores registered in Q4 of last year. In terms of the sales performance, we registered significant growth in the air suspension division during FY 2023, and also in Q4, it was quite strong. Also, the CV market and the earth mover wheel market did well, notably during this period. Also, in Q4, we had commissioned the machining of large castings plant for the windmill industries in September of 2022, and we ramped up the volume towards the end of 2023. While domestic was strong, there is a certain amount of uncertainty on the global environment. However, our exports are showing positive signs, and we are confident that based on the strong relationships that we have with customers and the new programs that we are getting into in the coming year, we'll continue to show growth in the coming year as per our budget. A little bit about the company for some of you who are interacting with us for the first time. So Wheels India has the following businesses. There's the automotive wheels division, where we make steel wheels for trucks, cars, and agriculture tractors. And we have also cast aluminum wheels for cars, and we have forged aluminum wheels also included in the automotive wheel division. Next, we have a construction and mining division, which makes wheels. So again, the wheels is considered as automotive, but if you look at the wheel division, it has a car, truck, tractor, and construction equipment. And we also have air suspension systems, which are for buses and trucks. If you look at our industrial component division, it has components for the windmill industry, railways, and also fabrications for construction division. So these are the basic businesses that we have. There is also a subsidiary wherein Wheels India Limited holds 74% called Wheels India Car Wheels Limited, which is a joint venture with Tochi Industries of Japan, which makes only steel passenger car wheels for MNC customers. In addition to this, we have an associate called Axles India, which is a joint venture with Dana, which makes axle housings for commercial vehicles. This is a brief about the company. I thought I would also give you a small brief about the group. Wheels India is part of the TSF Group. The TSF Group has a turnover of about 22,000 crores. It includes an auto component division, which includes Brakes India, Wheels India, Turbo Energy, Axles India, among other companies. An auto distribution group, which includes Sumo Motors, India Motor Parts and Accessories, and Madras Auto Service. And of course, the large finance and insurance division, which is the Sundaram Finance Group. This together comprises of the TSF Group, of which we are a part. So this is a short brief about the company performance and also background. I would now probably invite questions from the participants.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Nikhil Rungta from Nippon India Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, a couple of questions from my side. To start with, if you can give your outlook and guidance, how would be FY23 for us? Because in terms of numbers and scheme of things, FY23 was not that great, but how it will be for FY24?
Sure. Do you have other questions, or would you like me to answer this first?
So the other would be, I mean, in terms of growth, now that we are almost peaking the EV cycle, which all segment will our growth come from, and also how is the windmill market?
Okay. So I'll attempt to answer your question. Now, in terms of, I will break it up into two parts. First, I'll talk about it in the two segments that we have, but I will first talk about the domestic Indian market. So if you look at the automotive market, there's an expectation that there will be a single-digit growth in the PV market. That's also been communicated recently by leaders in the market. The CV market, we believe, will still have double-digit growth this year because of the fact that there is still a certain amount of demand, and I feel that with the government infra spend this year, if it goes as per plan, the CV market should get a boost from that and manage a double-digit growth. The tractor market, I feel, will have a muted growth because it's coming off a record year, and also Skymet has said that it will be a below-normal monsoon. So that is as far as the domestic market is concerned. The export markets, broadly speaking, while there is a slowdown on existing volumes with all customers, we are also on a lot of new programs with customers. That is, we were earlier servicing certain platforms, but the number of platforms that we are servicing with major customers is increasing. So in line with that, we also see growth in the coming year. Broadly speaking, we believe that in the current year, we will be able to show a growth of about 20% in terms of our exports. This is indicative at the moment. Whatever we have done so far in the almost 2 months which have passed seems to be in line with this. While it may seem like a significant growth when the market is slowing down, let me also explain that in Wheels India's case, we had 3 months of the year where our major American distributor for aluminum wheels had given us a zero schedule because of his destocking. So we had a zero schedule last year. So the aluminum wheel business will definitely gain because we are not anticipating, we still have backlogs currently with the customer. So we are not anticipating any destocking at his end. On construction and agriculture, notably, we have programs with a number of customers. Some of them already started in the middle or towards the end of last financial year, but there will be a full year impact of those programs in this year. And there are also a number of new programs where the customers set a timeline for introduction on wheels for agriculture and construction, which we see rolling out during the year. So we see reasonably good growth in that segment. In addition to that, there is on the domestic side, the construction market also is expected to be quite strong as infrastructure spend is going to continue. And in addition to the domestic wheel demand, Wheels India also makes fabrications for construction equipment, and that will also see growth in the coming year. So overall, if you look at it, I think moderate growth in the domestic market, and in the export market, there should be growth based on the fact that we have A, defined programs with customers on the off-road. We have the aluminium wheels not having the destocking months. And lastly, I'd also say on the windmill sector, we had some issues in the first 4 months of last year, which affected our exports of windmill components. And there's a degree of normalcy which is returned. So as by virtue of that, there will be growth there as well.
Okay, okay. And lastly, sir, in terms of margin, do you think we'll be in a position to move back to 7 to 9% range this year?
I think last year was a bit of an anomaly. We were actually impacted by three different elements. One is we had some pre-inspection and rectification charges in the export market in one particular segment, which happened in the first quarter, but the costs came throughout the year. The second element which affected us was the aluminium wheel business, where we had zero schedule for 3 months. Actually 3 months of forge and 3 months of cast. So it affected us for effectively about 4 to 5 months. And the last element was the interest cost, both due to the increase in interest rate as well as due to the increased utilization. The interest cost went up substantially during the year last year.
Got it.
So as a result of this, of course, interest cost is not going to improve in the current situation. But the other elements which are related to demand, we believe are not going to be there. And as a result of that, the cost of underutilization will not be there. So we should be able to return to earlier levels, at least.
Got it, sir. So, sir, I have a few more questions. I'll come back in the queue.
Sure.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Rajkumar Vidyanthan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. So first of all, congrats for the turnaround. It's really good to see that the Wheels India numbers are looking good the current quarter. Sir, I have a few questions. First one is on the windmill side. I can see that the forecast given by people like Siemens, Gamesa and Vestas in the European side, they are saying that the things are going to look up the coming quarters. So given that Wheels India is servicing these customers, just wanted to know whatever the backlogs or whatever orders he could not fulfill in the past, will be able to do it more in the coming quarters?
Sure. I can. Is there another question or would you like me to answer this first?
Yeah, if you could answer this first.
So actually there's we are suppliers, so we align with the production of windmill manufacturers. When they actually make announcements, they talk about the sale. So there's a slight mismatch in that. What we are seeing is actually that the current calendar year will be flat, but I think starting next year, there are some new platforms which are coming on, and they're expecting that the rollout towards the increased orders that they're getting due to climate change would start rolling in, but it'll start rolling actually from for us technically from the end of from the fourth quarter onwards.
Okay.
Prior to that.
Okay. So next two questions, sir. So first one is on the pre-delivery charges of 27.23 crores, which you called out this quarter. So this is for the entire year, sir, or is it only for
the entire year? My apologies. It's the entire year, not for the quarter.
Okay, because you just called it out, because in the previous quarters, this disclosure was not there. So if you can please tell me, what is the number for Q4?
There was really nothing for Q4 was, there was no number. The issue was actually because the full year disclosure was there. Our auditor, who earlier never felt it necessary to disclose this, because he had some idea that this is near the end and the amount totally came to a large amount, he wanted to have a disclosure. It was an expense which was incurred in Q1, Q2 and Q3.
Oh, not in Q4. Okay.
Yeah, Q4 is negligible.
Okay. Sir, lastly, if you could update on the railway tender. Last time you said you were expecting some orders from the railway segment. I see that the major orders have gone to Ramakrishna Forgings and Titagar Wagons. So will Wheels India...
I'll just clarify. We don't make railway wheels. Railway wheels are large forgings, which is why I think Ramakrishna Forging has tied up with Titagar Wagons for making railway wheels. We make actually structural fabrications for the bogie. We make the bogie frame for both mainly for the NHP coaches, but also now we are also getting qualified for the the higher speed Vande Bharat type of train.
Okay. So what is the size?
Last year we didn't really supply much, so it's only going to be prospective. Because we were focusing on, clearing up the issues on the windmill side. So we really didn't focus much on railways last year.
Okay. Okay, sir. Sir, I have a few more questions. I'll come back in the queue, sir.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Vikash Vijayvargiya from Econ Tree Group. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning, sir.
What is our deadline of this merger of the Sundaram Hydraulics, sir? It still is going on in the 2021 onwards.
Yeah, unfortunately, the NCLT, there were a lot of delays in the process. My understanding is that there is a hearing on 7th of June. And thereafter, we have to see whether it will be one hearing or more than one hearing and whether it gets delayed, because sometimes there are also delays in the process. But our best information at the moment is June 7th is the hearing.
Okay, on the next one, sir. Okay. And one thing also there, this last year, components is there.
I'm sorry, Vikas, I'm not able to hear you clearly.
In the last year, in the annual report, mentioned that it's some kind of the opportunity in the aluminium wheels and the windmill components is there, sir.
Yeah, so on opportunity is what you said, right? So aluminum wheels, when we started, it was only an export-oriented business. But we've been able to win business, and we've started supplying to our first supplies to an OEM in India this month. And we expect that the second OEM will start probably towards the end of the third quarter, definitely in the fourth quarter, but probably from the end of the third quarter. So on aluminum wheels, that's a development. We've also now putting in place investments to meet the OE requirements. On windmill, actually, last year, the comment on windmill, if it was made prior to, the development of the issues that we had. So on windmill, actually, the point is that going forward, because of climate change, there's an expectation that in Europe and also in the rest of the world, there'll be significantly more renewable energy. So there's a lot of talk about it. We have to see when it actually rolls out. Our customers have indicated to us that from calendar year 26, because they talk calendar year, so they say from calendar year 26 onwards, things should improve. And I think if you wait another 1 year or 2 years, it will speed up considerably. The windmill industry in Europe and North America, to be honest, while supply chain can be an issue, the bigger issue is getting regulation clearances to set up the windmills. So they actually wait till they get the regulation clearances and then they push it into the channel. So we have to see how that political will is there, but they need to clear this up so that it moves faster.
Our focus area or export area is a European territory.
We supply to windmill, we supply both the US and Europe.
Okay.
Both countries.
Thank you. We have lost the line. And the next question comes to the line of Nikhil Rungta from Nippon India Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks again. Sir, how is the margin position now in our alloy facility? I mean, till 3Q, we were making negative EBITDA margin there. So how is the situation there and by when do you think we'll break even there?
Yeah, so I split it into two parts. See, on forged aluminum wheel, so this is a quite a long answer, Nikhil, if you just give me the patience to hear
please,
it.
Sir, please.
So on forged aluminum wheel, actually, you know, post-COVID, there was a huge surge in buying. And this is a very profitable product. And the volume was from a single market from the US alone, the volume was 5,000 wheels a month, with very healthy EBITDA margins. Now, that was that immediate post-COVID. That has now cooled down to something like 2,000 wheels. So the profit from forged aluminum wheels, while it is still profitable, has dropped significantly due to that. We are making it up now. We are going direct in Europe with trailer manufacturers. I myself visited there about a month back, and even on Friday, one of them came to meet us in Chennai. And we see that we'll make up the volume through that. The cast aluminum wheel, of course, you know, last year with zero schedule, on both, it was a struggle. But I feel that right now, while we are doing about 25,000 wheels a month, the OE has just started. It's not a very high volume. We feel it will take till November, December, actually to reach, come closer to the break-even volumes. Because we need the second OEM to kind of kick in.
Okay, so probably break-even in FY24 and...
Yeah, or Q4, because I don't know how they will ramp up when they start, whether they will start with full volume or ramp up. This is the, you know, the Pune that's come on.
Got it. And sir, last question, update on our CAPEX plans, and I believe phase two for this alloy facility will come only after a few years once we are up.
You're right in that. We are doing, you know, building extensions as opposed to putting up, you know, phase two per se, because OEM customers also want us to have more storage space for their requirements. But to give you an idea, I think the gentleman, all of you would have read that, you know, Wheels India is investing about 200 crores in the coming year. And just to give you an idea of where the investments have gone in, there's about 50 crores towards the aluminum project. There's about 40 crores towards the windmill division, but that's largely towards ramping up on machining of large castings. There is about 60 crores towards off-road, which is both on construction as well as ag, which is really related to, the ag side is related to new projects, and construction is more around optimization rather than anything else, cost reduction. The balance that we have invested is really, I would say, in the nature of maintenance capex.
Got it, got it. That's all from my side. Thank you so much, sir.
Our next question comes from the line of Rajakumar Vaidyanathan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thanks for the follow-up. Sir, just one question on the P&L, you know, if I look at, you know, despite your reduction in depreciation due to change of policy, still the numbers are, you know, considerably lower than the numbers that we reported for FY21-22. So I know that, you know, the, because of the capex, the underutilization and so on and so forth, you know, the numbers are not, you know, looking up. So just wanted to know, will we be able to catch up with the numbers, what we did in 21-22 in the coming quarters?
The coming quarter or the second quarter? The second quarter probably will be... No, first quarter, no, because last year, I think the first quarter was bad for us. So, yeah, I think broadly speaking, we will. I don't know exactly how the Q1 matches up with the Q1 and Q2 matches up with Q2. But broadly speaking, we will. Just to give you an idea, our EBITDA this year, is, while it is obviously lower than the previous year, it is better than 18-19. So 18-19, we had an EBITDA of 240 crores, and this year we did 243 crores. So obviously on higher sales. But so the catch-up will happen. We are looking at higher numbers than what we were looking at last year.
Okay. And what is the guidance on the finance cost, sir? Do you see it trending down?
So we are doing a fairly active, you know, management of cash. We are managing free cash flows and measuring free cash flows in each of the businesses on a very frequent basis. So the idea is, even though we are going in for this large capex, we are not looking at increasing our overall debt. So we will still hope to have some reduction in debt in the coming year, despite the high capex that we have. So we're looking at tightening our working capital management. Last year also, if you look at it, we actually made an improvement both in terms of debtors as well as inventory and payables in terms of number of days. So the coming year, that will be a continued focus, and we feel that by doing that, we'll be able to manage our cash flows. And hopefully, if we are able to do that, then hoping if the interest costs don't go up, we should be able to manage the interest cost in a better manner.
So I see that the free cash flows have improved, you know, significantly in the current year as compared to the previous financial year. Though the profitability is on the lower side, but the cash flow is really looking good, you know, which is nice to know.
Yeah, a lot of it will get topped up for this capex plan that we have. We will still be positive. But to be honest, I'm just being transparent here. We started managing on free cash flows only from the second quarter. Once Mr. Ramesh joined us, after that, we've been very focused on that. And I think whatever improvement is there, the entirely credit should go to him.
Great, sir. It's very nice to know. Sir, and last question on the ESG front. I know that Wheels India has a major production facility in Padi Ambattur. So this is now, I think that location is now become more like a residential area. So I just want to know, are there any related issues that you might foresee in the medium to long term, you know, which would, you know, kind of force you to move your facility out of that location?
Yeah, so what you say is right. It is a residential area, but we also look at it as like our residential area, because a lot of the, you know, the management of the company also lives in close proximity. So Padi is a community. We look at it as a community that is created, because prior to our being there, there was nothing actually in that place, especially around where our plant is. And that area has kind of come up subsequently. So we are very, very conscious of the fact that we have a manufacturing plant inside of this thing. It's difficult, given the nature of equipment, to move lock, stock and barrel. But you're right, we're already, you know, anyway, we are full up in terms of space utilization there. And I think going forward, we'll have to see how things progress. But it's unlikely that we'll be expanding majorly at this facility.
Okay. But you don't see any risk of, you know, any issues coming from pollution control board and so on? So.
No, I, you know, for example, on the environment side, I measure the water quality and air quality, and the air quality is actually worst in the areas which are bordering the highway. So we have internal and outside, and the worst air quality is invariably the ones which are close to, you know, the highways that we have outside. So we are, and we're looking at, we actually look at metrics which are tighter than what the Indian government has. So okay. We are confident that we'll be able to reduce things and get it under better control. Not only in terms of air and water, but also noise also we're looking at.
Okay, good to know, sir. Thanks a lot. Thanks for your patient answer. All the very best.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Anurag Jain from Art Ventures Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So I just wanted to get your perspective on competition in the aluminum wheel business in both the domestic and export market. How do you see competition, and how do we, in terms of product positioning, are we different or are we similar? Just your thoughts on that, please.
Sure, no problem. So the international market, you know, contrary to, you know, whatever you read, China is still very much there. People are buying, China is the major supplier of aluminum wheels globally, and they continue to be there. The only difference is that people are looking at de-risking by trying to reduce their overall dependence on China, but they still look at Chinese as a major supplier. So the competition is largely from China on the international market. As far as the domestic market, it is really, you know, large number of Indian suppliers are there, and you have to win individual businesses. So we've been fortunate that with two of the OEMs, we've been able to win entry points, and a third will be added probably in the next year. So three businesses we have so far won, but we've also been audited by about four or five companies. So really, it boils down to the OEM choosing a supplier based on what they call, they would say, is reliability, whether there are options that they can offer in terms of product quality. Those are the types of things that can make the difference. For us, one advantage that we have is because we have been a steel wheel supplier to all the major manufacturers. They already have that awareness that we know their quality systems, and thereby it gives us a slight advantage from that perspective. But the fact of the matter is we are a bit late in the game, so we will only have to win business slowly. So far we have, you know, some kind of confirmation from three OEMs, two who will start supplying this year and one which will start supplying next year. I hope that
sure,
answers
that,
the question.
That's very helpful, sir. And just from the export market on a steady state basis, what kind of volumes do you think sustainable?
Okay.
What kind of volumes can we do in the export market?
So this is again assuming neutrality of commodity prices, because commodity prices change, the value changes. We see initially at least taking ourselves to 25% of our business being export as a reasonable target. Last year, of course, we did much more, but the domestic market grew substantially this year. So on this type of domestic market, I think assuming that 25% of our sales can come from exports is a reasonable target. But more than looking at it as export, one of the challenges that I'm seeing is we need to be on the ground in some of these locations. So customers expect you to be there and visit frequently. So setting that up. We have that to some extent in some of the geographies, but increasingly customers expect you to have an employee or someone like that close to their facilities.
Sure. That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Hitesh from Aksa Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you very much for the opportunity. Sir, at least qualitatively, could you please guide us on what the margins are across different product categories today, and on a normalized basis, where can we look forward to these margins moving in different categories here, product categories?
Yeah, so broadly speaking, if you look at the construction business, it's a clean double-digit margin. It's a healthy double-digit margin. If you look at the tractor business with exports, especially as we grow exports, we expect to get close to a double-digit margin. The CV business that we have currently is more like a 5 to 6%, but we are working on it. As a matter of fact, the company is also, has put in place new management who can focus especially on the automotive side. So CV is a very low margin in terms of being about 5 to 6%, and the air suspension is more like around 8% EBITDA, but it's very less demanding on capital. Windmill business, which used to be 12% margin, is now come down more to about 8%, but that's also because the relative volume that we have is less. I think as the volume increases there, the margin there should improve. And there also, as we ramp up the machine casting thing, the margin should improve more noticeably.
Sure. So talking specifically on aluminium alloys, because I believe at least in two-wheelers, a good two-third of the market today relies on imports. And we have domestic players also with capacities, but even those are underutilized. So is there any technological edge that certain players have which probably helps them get a better competitive advantage? The reason I'm specifically insisting on this is, we have a company, Minda Kosai, where, they have historically been at 20% plus margins. And then we have another player called Enkei Wheels, which is predominantly focusing on aluminium alloys. But then despite being in the market for a very long time and having a Japanese parentage here, they're struggling to even break even. And even in our case, you just highlighted a while back that as the volume ramps, probably we will see some improvement in margins there. So just trying to understand why this significant deviations in the margins across different players in the aluminium alloys specifically, despite having a higher import dependency here.
So a couple of points I'd like to mention. One is we are not in the two-wheeler business. Secondly, if you look at our case, I can't really comment about the other players, but in our case, last year was the first full year of production was last year. So we just had, one full year of production. Normally when you set up a project, there's a ramp-up process. And break-even honestly was expected last year, but we got this, we were affected by this, destocking. Mm-hmm. This year, we hope that by the end of the year, we'll be closer to a break-even point. But it really depends on how the OEM ramps us up, because they are talking about bringing us in and then they will ramp product by product. So it depends on how the ramp up takes place.
Got it.
But we are confident that we'll be able to break even in this business. We don't have a concern on it, which is why we're putting in another 50 crores this year.
Sure. So at least on a normalized basis, can we look forward to a higher double-digit margin in this segment, given that margins are typically better than the steel rims here?
Yeah, I think going forward, probably not this financial, I mean, obviously not this financial year, but maybe next financial year or slightly further on, it will definitely happen. I think criticality of volume is important. I think once you're over about, say, 600,000 or, say, 700,000, 750,000, when you're at that level, you should be at something like that.
Sure, got it. And sir, lastly, on the windmill side, the machining capabilities that we have today, are there any restriction with regard to the, because these days, you know, most of the windmill erection that's happening globally is on the higher capacity windmills. So when we look at our machining capabilities, do we have any restrictions as in we can only go up to 2 MW, 3 MW, or even beyond that, we can have those machining done in-house?
No, we're also doing 4, so it's not restricted to that. And actually, the machining thing is slightly different. What we've done is we have tied up with a large casting, European large casting manufacturer, set up a plant in Chennai. As a matter of fact, they wanted a joint venture, but we set up plants adjacent to each other. So our plans are very much linked with their plans, and their plans are to de-risk China.
Got it. Got it. You're referring to Baker India, right? Which
Yeah.
recently set
Yeah.
up a huge cast. Okay, got it. Sure. Thank you, sorry, very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Jeetu Panjabi from EM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for this. So I have two questions. One, what's the debt number for end March? And linked to that is, what do you think, what's the plan from the next 24-month point of view? What is that number going to look like?
Okay, can I ask my CFO Ramesh to answer that, Jeetu, if that's okay?
Sure, absolutely. And then I have one more before you, which I'll go after
Sure.
I hear the answer. Yeah, thank
Yeah.
you.
Ramesh, do you want to take this?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Jeetu, the debt number as on March 23 is 721 crores.
Okay.
Okay.
And what does this look like? Yeah, go ahead.
Out of this, roughly about 100 crores is the long-term loan. And about 235 crores is the public deposit balance from the working capital limit, the fund-based working capital.
Okay. Sorry, you said 100 was long-term. 200, I didn't hear what the answer was.
The 200 plus was the public deposit. We also take deposits from the public,
Okay.
which is about.
So we treat that also as long-term. So 300 is about long-term.
Yeah, no, they are classified as a long-term and short-term, depending on the maturity. But I'm saying as a category of our borrowing, you have one category which is your term loans, which is about 150 crores to be precise. And we have this deposit, which is about 235 crores. The balance is the fund-based working capital, which is predominantly the packing credit. We use predominantly a packing credit, which is at a lower rate of interest. Put together, the debt number is about 721 crores as of March 31st, 2023, compared to 811 crores as on March 22. Okay, so there is a net reduction of about 90 crores in the debt during FY23. Okay, so coming to the next question in terms of what the numbers are likely to look like, as our MD was saying, the number would remain around 225 to 235 crores for FY24. Okay, so which means we would remain at the same level of debt, and we would still be able to fund the 200 crore CapEx which we are planning.
Okay, got it, got it,
Yeah.
got it. Can I ask you one more question? So the second question was really the point the MD made that well, after you joined, there was a lot of focus on the free cash flow and cash flow from operations. Can you just talk us through what are the key focus areas of this? What are the goals you want to achieve, and how did you go about executing on it?
Okay, our key objective is to deleverage the company further. while maximizing the ROCE. We want to see how the debt can be reduced without impacting the mix. That's the first and the foremost objective. So our focus is on the working capital to make sure that we kind of squeeze the working capital as much as we can and bring it back to a kind of a leaner working capital. And the second thing is about in terms of the capex funding, we want to we have as Randy said, we have different businesses with different levels of margins and different levels of cash flows. So we are putting a system by which we are linking the unless it's a new business like an aluminium steel, we have a system by which we are linking up the future investment with the free cash flow investment as much as we can, unless there are very different circumstances warranting for an investment without a sufficient cash flow from the customer. And we are putting a system in place to make sure that our capitals are paying back as per the plan at the time of getting the board sanction. So overall, these measures along with our efforts to optimize the cost would help us to step up our return on capital.
So Jeetu, just to add to that, you know, one of the things that we want to do, and I know we are not there yet, but one of the things we want to do, we want to look at a sustainable 18% type of return on capital employed.
When do you think you should get there? Do you think in 2-3 years you should be able to get there?
yeah, definitely.
And what kind of revenue numbers for the aggregate company would you get to at that point?
We are currently 5,000. Yeah, so maybe we would be probably about something like 5 or 5.5 or something like that by the time we reach that level.
5,500 crores.
Yeah.
Okay. Super. Thank you so much.
Assuming there's no mega inflation in commodity prices.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Rajakumar Vaidyanathan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, thanks for the follow-up. This question is on the subsidiary WI Car Wheels. So I don't think the numbers are called out separately in reported financials. But if I compare the consolidated vis-a-vis the standalone, so I guess that represents the numbers of Car Wheels, right?
Yeah, it made a loss. I think the profit after
tax. Yeah, the losses have almost doubled. That's the question. So last year, you had a loss of 11.93 crores, and now it's about 21.3 crores.
Yeah, we have. So there, they had a particular issue in the way that, you know, the prices are settled with customers, and last year there was a, you know, almost a 16,000 rupee per metric ton reduction in steel prices. So the hit that we took was only inventory, although the inventory was at a normal level, but the inventory that we held because the settlement of the customer was immediate. But we have also a recovery plan. The board has asked us what our plan is on WCWL. So we have a recovery plan which we will be kicking in probably from November of this year, which is looking at consolidating facilities a little bit. Plus, we have also the benefit of increased volumes which are already there now for us in the first quarter. So with these two, while we may not break even in the coming year either, we will significantly reduce the amount of loss that we have. It should come down dramatically, and the year after that we should be in a break even situation in that company.
Okay, great, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining the meeting. I think, it gives us a platform in which we can, address the performance of the company and also answer your questions, a lot of which are very perceptive and also give us thoughts that we can take back. And I look for continued engagement with you in the quarters to come. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.